In a number of lessons that I've had over the years, I've used an overhead projector where you could have a screen either set out there or one coming down from the ceiling or wherever. And you'd aim that overhead projector toward that screen, hopefully, and it would project a picture based upon what you place onto that overhead projector. A number of occasions, the picture would show up out of focus. I remember one Sunday morning at, I think it was the Clarksville Highway Church, where I was going to use that projector and use it for a similar type lesson. And I had one of the younger boys come up, 11, 12 years old, come up to focus the machine for me. Well, he couldn't get it focused. So I asked his daddy to come over and to help him to focus it. After he had some help, then he could focus that overhead projector. I've still got the overhead projector. I don't know whether they've made one that automatically focuses yet or not. But along the idea of focus, I also had slide projector. Some of you probably saw those slide projector back in the good old days. And you put a slide in, and in some of those projectors, it wouldn't be focused. You'd have to turn, twist and turn something. But I finally got one that would automatically focus itself. So I had a remote control lead. I had a remote control. That's why I'm so good at that remote control for TV, and DVDs and whatever. But anyway, now we got a remote control on a fan that my son put in for me. Boy, I mean, we got remote controls coming out of our ears. But here, there was a remote control for this slide projector. So if it was showing up something that wasn't focusing, then I could hit that button and it would automatically focus. And sometimes I think it automatically focused even without my help. Just a flip of the button, push the second slide on, if it needed focusing, it would refocus. It would be interesting if we had something like that slide projector in our lives, wouldn't it? As far as helping us with getting our lives focused. Getting our lives focused. And because a lot of times we get out of the company of other Christians, or we get into a different situation that we don't readily call upon a scripture that will aid us in that situation, that problem, that challenge. And sometimes it would be great if we could just push a button and, Lord, now I'm focused. It doesn't work that way, though, does it? But there are some things that we can do and some people in the Bible that we can look at it, I think, will help us in focusing our lives. A lot of business would go under even quicker than some of them do go under and go bankrupt if they did not focus upon particular objectives and particular goals. When I was at American General, that was one thing that was taught, that on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, and especially on an annual basis, you had some objectives to obtain and goals out there to reach, and the big boys that were above American General, AIG, when they took over American General, they would call you to task if you did not meet those objectives, if you were not focused on the same goal that they were focused on. There was an overwide corporate focus or goal. A number of large corporations have been developed who initially just had what we refer to, I guess, as mustard seed money, but they became large corporations. Mustard seed money, but they had tons of vision, tons of planning, tons of focusing. Your athletes, in the same manner, you hear Coach Fulmer from up on the hill at Tennessee, Johnson from down here in Vandyland, Coach Fisher for the Titans, and other coaches. They have certain things they're going to focus on, even looking at scrimmage games. They'll have certain people they're focused on. They have certain goals that they want to reach as a team, as a coach, and they have certain goals for their players and each individual player has their own individual goal. And a lot of times you'll say, well, you know, that halfback, that running back, that wide receiver seems to be better this year because they're focused. They're more focused. Paul wrote to the Christians in Colossae, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I'll turn there if you want to have an opportunity. I'm almost there now. Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. To this church at Colossae, Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection or mind, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So he says, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. Our focus will be above. Seek the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind, one translation says, the King James says, set your affection. Still another translation says, keep your mind on. Keep your mind on things above. You know, it's very easy this morning as we sing these songs and as we study God's Word and as we have prayers, we partake of the Lord's Supper, we know we need to be focused, don't we? When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we partake of it each first day of the week, as the first century church did, and our minds need to be focused. They can't be wandering to maybe where we're going to eat lunch or what we're going to have for lunch or lunch going to burn up before I get home. We need to remain focused. Focused. In this day and time, it's difficult to be focused sometimes. Folks are being diagnosed with ADD. Is that what it is? Attention deficit disorder. Are there Christians that have that problem? Should we as Christians have that problem? You know, television has taught us to have that problem, really. How long does a show go before they turn off and have a little Geico come on, you know, get your attention, and that cute little lizard? Are those cavemen that come on for Geico? That's the ones I remember, because they're stupid. It ought to show you where I'm at, right? But we remember those things. And we don't have to focus on the story of whatever the show is. We can have a respite, you might say. We have a time when we can shut our minds off of that, and then we'll try to focus back in on when you come back, when you get rid of that 3 minutes of commercials to get back to that 90 seconds of the show. And it's again and again, off and on again, off and on again. It's difficult to keep our attention. Wasn't that hard to keep our attention. We'd go to gospel meetings, as our black brethren do many times, and we would stay there for 2 hours. But most back places I've been, I know none of y'all would do that, so don't do it this morning. People would, after I got so far and they figured I was through, or ought to be through, they'd turn, because our clock was just like y'all's clock. It was in the back. And I know this woman was going to get a crick in her neck because she just kept looking back up there, you know. But when it started hitting her hand like it, hitting her watch, you know, it's about time to quit. But we have problems focusing, don't we, for any length of time. So we need to determine what is it that will help us to keep us to be focused. On this idea of the word affection or mind here in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Look in our dictionary. Vines has a dictionary of New Testament words. He defines this word affection as whatever one suffers or experiences in any way. Hence, an affection of the mind. A passionate desire. Set your mind, set your desires, have a passionate desire for things above. And that will help us to keep focused, won't it? That will help us to keep focused. As a Christian, is God, is Christ, is His church, is heaven my focus? Is that where I look? Is that where my mind is at? Jesus asked, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So I think it's very important for us to ask this question of ourselves. Are we properly focused? Or are we like that overhead projector? Every once in a while we need a refocus. A refocus. As Christians, my soul business should be the business of the soul. Our soul, the souls of our friends and neighbors and kinfolks. Sometimes with the heat and with health problems, we can't get out of the house, knock on doors, go from this place or that place. But boy, those cell phones are awful handy if you got one. The telephone is awful handy if you got one. You know, we don't go out and talk to folks over the backyard fence because there ain't going to be nobody there to talk to, usually. Nobody's home. But when you call, be like those folks that want to sell you something. Call about 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock. That's when folks are at home. Are my eyes, is my life, is my mind focused on things above? Where is my focus? I want to look at a couple of men in the Bible, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, and see what it was they did in their lives that lead us to believe that they were focused. What about to Abraham? Abraham. I think overall, Abraham called the father of the faithful, man of great faith, man of obedience. He had some hard times. He had some times when he sinned, when he lied, but he bounced back, didn't he? He put forth more effort. He was diligent to come back. Why do some people fall and stay down? Why do people fall as far as their spiritual lives? And then other people fall and you see them make a mistake. You see them sin, but they repent of that sin and they're back up again and ready to go. They don't let things get them down. It's that attitude of, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I read my Bible. I study my Bible. I got a problem. I pray to God. I cast my cares on Him because He says He cares for me. I need to be alert because the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's real. I'm going to focus my life. I can focus my life better if I hang around with people who have focused lives. Or someone who will turn the knob if I get out of focus. Who will remind me if I get out of focus? That's a friend, isn't it? That's a Christian friend. After God called Abraham, he plodded steadily onward. His success is explained in these words in Hebrews 11, verse 10. It says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." He looked for something better, didn't he? He looked for something better. He'd been made promises by God, and he believed those promises. His eyes were focused on a reward beyond this world. A reward that was out of this world, you might say. So he relied with trust. He relied with confidence on what God had promised him, knowing that God was able to perform what he had promised. While others of his time could entertain doubts, could entertain uncertainties, as many folks do, but many are overcome Many don't know who to go over to or who to go to help when we're out of focus, when we need to refocus. Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do we want to be righteous? We know we can't be righteous in and of ourselves. But we can be righteous through Jesus Christ. We can have it accounted to us as His righteousness. Though Abraham lived in an area that was steeped with wickedness, you remember on one occasion, he and Lot, his nephews, the herdsmen, were having difficulties. And there was, you know, they were almost to a split, you might say. And Abraham said, you know, if you want a better part of this land, you want that part of the land, you want up in the mountains, down on the plains, I'll take whatever else is available. And so Lot looked toward the plain where the grass was growing better, but he pitched his tent toward the wrong city, didn't he? He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He was not focused. He was not focused. He had a choice to make. He made a choice that focused him in the wrong direction. Lost his family as a result of that. Lost many of his family in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of that one choice that he made. Abraham, though, focused his life on God, upon God's promise to him, upon his purpose in living. When God spoke to him, according to Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, Paul records that concerning Abraham, said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You know, some folks, I think, stagger at the promise of God. Is it through unbelief? How strong is our faith to be? When have I gotten to the point that my faith is strong enough that I can punch my ticket on that heavenly train? When am I strong enough in my faith that I can punch that ticket? This was a man who was strong in the faith. He gave glory to God, and he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. And that especially had great importance to him when he was going to offer his son to God. Offer him as a sacrifice, and a ram was provided. Where is my mindset this morning? We've heard people's minds been set in concrete. People just won't move this way, that way. Well, where is our mind? A lot of times as we come to a certain age, we pretty well set. You heard of folks being set in their ways, haven't you? That used to be said of other people, but it's been said of me lately. I don't know how people get that idea. But we do get set in our ways. But we need to be careful what ways we're set in. Paul said to Colossians, you know, set your minds on things above. Do we have our minds focused on things above? Or are our minds focused on God's Word as being infallible? As being the final revelation of God to man? Are we reading our Bible sufficiently? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Not just hearing a preacher preach and use 8 or 10 or 12 scriptures. But to read the Bible and to find those salient points that will help us individually to remain focused in life. Are our eyes focused upon a city whose foundation whose foundation and builder, the builder and maker is God? Let's look at the life of Paul for just a few minutes. The Apostle Paul, boy, he didn't start out too good, did he, as a write-up of Luke in the Bible. You know, you'd think maybe, Luke, why did you tell all that stuff about Paul when he was Saul? I mean, we could have done without that. No, We had to know this man. And to know Paul or Saul, you had to go back to the early, or his early life, the early happenings in the city of Jerusalem that related to Christianity. Paul was against it. Paul had a mindset. His mindset was focused upon God, yes. But his mindset was not focused upon the Promised One, upon the Savior. He knew the Word of God. He knew the Old Testament. But on the road to Damascus, he had his focus changed, didn't he? He had his life refocused. He had it touched up a little bit. He had the knob turned a little bit this way or that way as he saw the Christ and spoke to the Christ. You know, Paul is said to have some type of spiritual ailment, isn't it, in the Bible? Many of us have concluded, along with the so-called Bible scholars, that likely it was his eyesight. But you know, Paul could see more with the eyesight that he had, more than many could see who have 20/20 vision. And he was able to bear up under any suffering that he would later face. But initially, he persecuted Christians, didn't he? Initially, he said he was conscious. He lived in all good conscience, though, at that time. But he was wrong. He was sincere in what he did, but he was sincerely wrong. He needed to be refocused when Jesus came along. Those who lived under Judaism needed to refocus. This Bible, these 66 books, are divided into two parts for a reason. The first several books, 39 chapters, are called the Old Testament for a reason. Because there was a New Testament coming down the pike. And that New Testament is here now. And that Old Testament is an Old Testament. The New Testament being the new will of God. A lot of people have difficulty coming to that conclusion when actually if we just know the division of the Bible, it pretty well tells us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, Apostle Paul would write to this church at Corinth, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But he says the things which are not seen are eternal." We need to be looking above, don't we? We need to be looking above. Sometimes we can close our eyes and think about God and we can see more than we've ever seen. As we think about our own lives, maybe we have a moment of quietness. It's time to think. Time when the phone won't interrupt. When nobody has got the TV on. Things which are not seen are eternal. How easy it is to get bogged down. It's easy during the week. That's why I encourage you to be here on Wednesday night with other Christians, where we have an opportunity in a class setting, where I'm not just up here talking and everybody is listening. We should all be participating right now, though. You're participating in that you're either hearing or not hearing. You're either hearing some words I'm saying or you're just hearing a bunch of noise. But we're all participants. We're not in a movie theater. We're all participants. I've got a responsibility to preach God's Word. You have a responsibility to hear it. To hear God's Word. And that's taught in the parable of the soils. So we have so many things, though. Not only here while we're sitting here in this building, but for the most part while we're out tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Wouldn't it be great if the elders had a time during the week that we could come together and kind of help us? Because it's so difficult out there. A time when we can become refocused, where we don't go 7 days and then come back to the filling station and find ourselves totally empty. because we have not been encouraged, nor have we given encouragement. Paul's focus in his life was emphasized by his living principle of faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Paul's faith caused him to have things properly focused in his life. And because he properly focused in his life, he grew from faith unto faith. His faith, his growth of faith was like a never-ending circle. Just continued. And he grew. And he grew. To the Christians at Philippi, Paul had this interesting statement to make in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. We said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Now in other translations it may say, "I count not myself to have laid hold." The Lonnie's translation there is, I count not myself to have arrived. I'm not there yet, Paul says, as far as my life goal. Heaven is not there yet. This one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. Think of all the baggage that Paul could have been dragging around. Oh, I watched Stephen as they murdered him. Stephen, a great man, I hear about him now. I was going to Damascus. I pulled some of the leaders of the church in other cities. I pulled them out of their house and drove them into Jerusalem, threw them into jail. All that behind me, oh, he didn't look back, he said. He moved on. Oh, he thought about it. I'm sure he thought about it. But he says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth. So many of us are getting to the age where we're not going to have too many more years to do reaching, right? And if we're ever going to reach, we need to start reaching forth now and looking forward and looking heavenward. Paul said, I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Did you ever watch one of these races, or 100-yard dash, or 100-meters dash, I guess it is now, and 200-yard dash, and all these athletes, as they go down toward the finish line, you may see occasionally someone look back over their shoulder, but that's not the wise thing to do, is it? You need to keep your eyes on that finish line. The horses in the horse races at the Churchill Downs or where, Belmont or wherever, you don't want a horse that you're on to keep looking behind him, see which horse is closest to him. You got to keep your eyes on the goal. Got to keep your eyes forward. I know we used to put this bridle on our mules, and it had these deals out here. We don't want that mule looking to all that corn row. He saw enough as he was looking forward. We don't want him to see the rest of it, so we had him focused. He was focused on the end of that row. And that's where we were going. He was being controlled. He was being focused by me. But we have the opportunity as human beings to make choices of whether we're going to be focused or not focused. And if we look at these men's lives, we see that these men were focused. They were dedicated. They were committed. They were consecrated. They grew in their faith. He said, I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Though Paul had not reached his goal, he was focused on his goal. Now later, in 2 Timothy, I don't have that in my notes, but look at 2 Timothy 4. Getting toward the end of his life, Paul is able to make some very positive statements. And we need to take his life as an example. We need to look at our lives and say, you know, am I able, or am I getting to the point, or have I planned to get to the point where I can be as hopeful as Paul is here. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, I am now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to die. If Jesus came today, I'd say, come, Lord. Paul says, I am ready. There's nothing else that I need to do. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, Paul says. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, he says, I have hope. I know that there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, Lord will judge us by his words on that day. He shall give me in that day that crown, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And he's telling Timothy, you go out there and preach the word. You get them in mind. You get them focused. You get the folks focused so they will love his appearing. And they can be committed and as hopeful as I am, Paul said. Now, in closing comments, this sermon only has two points. Looked at Abraham, his life. We looked to see if his life was focused and how it remained focused. And the Apostle Paul, great messenger, great missionary, great teacher of the gospel, and an example for you and me. So we talked about those two men, those individuals who had their thoughts and their minds focused on one thing, God's high calling. And the third point I could have gone to the life of Jesus, because his life was focused on the will of the Father. His life was focused. But I left it blank. I can fill it in. And you can fill it in or leave it blank. Me, you, name, focused on God in heaven. All sermons have to have three points. The last point you can really take with you, can't you? Because each one of us needs to ask our lives. If over the past few months, few years, I have not been focused on God, is it time now that I need to refocus? In light of heaven, in light of hell, in light of the future life, eternal death, no matter whether it's in heaven or in hell, it will be eternal. Do I need to look more closely at my life and get focused? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The only way you can come to the Father is by me. So place your name there. I place my name there. And I have a choice to make. Do I follow Jesus? Do I set my mind on things above, or I just kind of coast throughout the week and hope the preacher has a sermon next week that will get me back refocused for that hour? Hebrews 11, something I think helpful there. Verse 24 through 27. We read of Moses. Moses, who was being brought up in the palace, in Pharaoh's house, being brought up just as one of the children of Pharaoh. And there came a time when he had a choice to make. God wanted him to lead the people out of Egypt. Some of the people of Egypt, the children of God, were against that. God wanted him. God chose him. Would Moses choose God and his brethren? It says he did. He chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of the season, in the household of Pharaoh. because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And he endured, seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible. God spoke to him. God has spoken to the children of Israel over the years, to the leaders. And Moses was going to stay focused now. There's much available, we know, that can lead us in this way or that way. All around us, there's so much going on. We leave our homes on Sunday morning, and there's more people that are still have their cars in their driveways than are out meandering around. Probably more people out playing softball or baseball or football on a Saturday than there'll be in church on Sunday morning. Where then should we focus our attention? 2 Peter 3:14. After Peter talked about the second coming of Jesus, he said, "Wherefore believe, seeing that these things will come to pass, be diligent that you may be found in him, in peace, without spot and without blemish." I close with this story. The story of a tugboat that was out on one of the Great Lakes. And a great storm was coming up. Tugboat, of course, I think it was just pulling a few barges. A great storm came up, and that little tugboat was getting ready to capsize. And the storm was ferocious, getting toward nighttime. And so the captain and the crew took the small boat that they always had, and they got in that boat and went overboard to make it their own way that night, really in jeopardy of losing their lives. And not long after that, morning came, and they were rescued by a passing ship. And the captain would later testify as to the night that they had, the long night. They were beaten, they were tossed about by these waves. And one thing kept them going, he said. He said it was this, that shining through the darkness and shining through the storm were the lights of home. The lights of home. Am I focusing my life and looking toward the lights of home, toward heaven? Am I setting my mind and my thoughts on things above rather than on things below? Abraham did. He set his life and his eyes on a foundation whose builder and maker is God. Paul said on one occasion, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me." He had so taught the gospel to others, and he said he buffeted his body daily that while saving others, he would not be lost himself. So it was very important to Paul to keep on keeping on, to press on, to be focused in his life. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to read your Bible. To study your Bible on your own or with someone. Ask questions. Find out where your life needs to be focused in order for you to have salvation. The Bible says we need to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And acting upon that belief to repent from our sins. And acting upon that belief to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. And to rise from baptism to walk a new life, in a new life, a new creature in Christ, born again. As a Christian, if you're here and you need our prayers, if you desire to rededicate your life to Christ, whatever you need, would you come this morning as we stand, as we sing.